Hello and welcome back to the My First Marathon podcast. My name is Taylor and today I'm joined by a guest who ran her first marathon at the 2023 Chicago Marathon and is currently training for her second marathon at the 2024 Chicago Marathon. We dive into how group runs were a challenge for her, how she's been able to focus so much more on herself the second time around and everything that she learned from her first marathon experience. I'm so excited to talk about her journey. So without further ado, please welcome Erin. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I'm super excited to talk about your journey. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Taylor?
Doing good. So I figured we'd start from the beginning. We just chatted a little bit. You said that you are newer into the running space, and I think it's important to hear from kind of all walks of the running experience for sure. So I'm excited to hear where you started. How did you get interested in running in the first place?
Yes. So, and I know a couple of folks who've already been on the podcast have had kind of similar starts where they say, I hated running. Yes. And I did. I really did. I was the kid that was always trying to find a way out of the mile run in school. It was the worst day of my life. Never wanted to run or do anything like that. And then in October of 2022, I worked a charity event for the Chicago Marathon. And I saw all of these runners who were preparing, who were coming back from the finish line. And it was just incredible. Like the fact that they're all running for a cause and they just felt so passionately. It was one of the most incredible days of my life. And I just got really inspired. And I started to think, you know I'm not a runner, but could I do this? Could this motivation make me finally do this? And at the same time, you know, I've been getting older, starting to think about, you know, I need to have more healthy habits in my life. I'm not going to lie. I will say that losing weight was maybe a motivation to start running too. And I just thought, well, maybe I should just sign up and do it. I had done a few virtual 5Ks during the pandemic, but there was no accountability there. You know, like,
sure,
I just had to walk out the door and run, walk a 5K and say, okay, I did it. But if I was like, if I sign up for the Chicago Marathon, I'm going to have to do something and make that happen. I'm going to have to commit to the training. And I thought that that motivation would be helpful. So, I signed up, I got a spot through the charity for the Chicago Marathon for 2023. And, I started training from there.
Awesome. So you dove right in right away. You said that you ran a couple 5Ks, of course, but you went right for the marathon distance instead of going maybe half marathon or 10K. You committed to the whole thing.
Yes, right for the marathon. I don't know. It never even occurred to me to do a half marathon first. I was just like, I'm just going to do a marathon. So
sure. That's impressive. So you were working with the charity. You're actually the second person that's had that experience where you attended one of the world majors or attended a big race like that, saw the environment, the people you were around and were inspired by it. So what really inspired you from that Chicago Marathon?
It was really just seeing the passion, but then also just the attitudes of the runner. Like I have never met so many nice, positive people who were just so thankful to have people there who were providing them with food or a place to sit, or, you know, we had, you know, waves walk over to the finish line. So first time runners knew where to go, which was such a huge support system. And I was just thinking like 26.2 miles is such an incredible distance. And we have people who were, you know, they've run 50 marathons. There's people who are running their first marathon. And it was the commitment to a cause to run that far, especially at the time, someone who couldn't even run a mile without stopping. I was just like, this is incredible that people are motivated to do this. And it was just really great to see so many just kind, wonderful people who are just trying to make a difference and want to push their body to the limits while doing it. And it was just really, it was really incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, the race experience is really incredible. And I think you see a lot of people that are just like you out there too. When you're a spectator for the first time, you can kind of put yourself in their shoes. If they can do it, I can do it. So that's really cool. So you signed up after the Chicago Marathon. Was it directly after the Chicago Marathon, or did you take like a couple of weeks to think about it?
I think I gave it a week. And okay. then I was like, yeah. just sign up. Cause I was also worried about the fundraising minimums will increase sometimes sure. once the lottery closes. So I was just like, I just want, especially cause I didn't know, I had never had the experience of having to fundraise that much money myself. Like I've worked for organizations with fundraising, but I've never for myself had to raise that. So I was like, I'll keep the minimum low. I don't want to overcommit myself to that part of it on top of having to get from basically zero to 26 miles.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive to wrap your head around right away. I'm not even sure if I could wrap my head around it in the beginning. It's a crazy distance to start with. But what did you start when you started thinking about training? Was there any training plans that you had looked into that you had started, or where did you kind of start off on your journey?
I really just started running, and I think that was actually one of my biggest mistakes. I didn't do a lot of research. I was just like, I can't run a mile now, and I need to be able to do that. So, I didn't even have a good pair of running like sneakers even that would work for running. So I did an online quiz. I think Brooks has an online quiz, and I was just guessing at what my needs were and what my problems were. So I had these shoes that I didn't get professionally fitted for, and I just started running, and I just like was like, I just want to run straight for a mile. And I did that a few times, and then I was getting nervous about pace. I got really in my head about pace. I was like, you can't run a 14-minute mile. You have to get faster. So then it was just trying to run faster, faster, faster. So I wasn't in the right shoes. I was just pushing myself, focusing on that mile pace time. I wasn't running long distances at first. And then I was like, well, why is my knee killing me? Why why can't I run every day? Because my knee hurts too much. My beginning running was really marred by just like continuous knee pain. I had trouble starting a consistent schedule. And then by the time June rolled around, because that's really for the Chicago Marathon, that's when you have to start training. It's really when I guess you should start training.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'm not really where I want to be with my base training, but I'm just going to start doing the training plan. So I found a group training plan here in Chicago. I signed up for a group run training program for the marathon. And I did my first long run with them was a 6-mile run. And it was great because I had some people around me, but my pace was still really slow. And I was still really, really up in my head about it. Because I was in the last pace group. There was only 4 of us in that pace group. Mm-hmm. And even during the running, like I was feeling so self-conscious because they kept looking back and being like, you are so red. Do you need to stop? And I was like, I don't want to hold these people up.
Yeah.
I don't know where I'm going. So I can't like stop and catch up with them later. So I just pushed through. Felt really good when I finished, but that was kind of when I realized that the group run environment was not for me. So from that point on, I was like, I'm getting too up in my head. I'm too worried about what everyone else is doing. And it's not a productive way for me to train. So after that, I really did all of my group runs on my own, or not group runs, my long runs on my own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I was doing, you know, a couple miles throughout the week. But I did not do any strength training, which is another, because I was just like, I just need to focus on finishing the marathon. It's like, if I can finish the marathon, that's fine. Ironically, I'm so obsessed with my pace in a group, but when I was training by myself, I was like, I just want to finish the marathon. If it takes me 6 hours, it takes me 6 hours.
Right.
So I didn't do any of the strength trainings. I was like, strength training is really about just getting faster. I didn't really comprehend that it is not just about getting faster. It's about being able to keep up, you know, so you don't have killer knee pain when you're training.
Right.
So it was really just running the distances. And then unfortunately my 20 miler, I was doing my 20 miler through the same training program because I figured that long of a distance, I don't even know how to plan a route for 20 miles. But it was canceled due to weather.
Oh no.
And then I never ended up doing the 20 miler because by that point it was really the next week was when you were supposed to start to taper. So my longest run was 16 miles before the marathon. And that is another mistake I think I made because mentally, more than anything else, it was like I was not prepared for those last 10 miles.
Right, right. Right. And I think you can. That's a funny misconception, I feel like, in the running world, is that you have to run that 20 miler. It definitely helps, but I think it helps more with the mental side of things. Yes. And the physical side of things, because at that point you're training. If one run is what's going to be the difference between you completing a marathon and not, then you probably didn't do enough through training. So
exactly. Yeah,
so it's like more of a mental ease than anything else, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, so went into the taper. Mm-hmm. I did not struggle with that the way other runners Instagram. They're like, oh, I miss running. I'm like, no, I feel great. I only have to run 3 miles today. That's fantastic. Because the thing about running for me is I feel like just recently I've gotten to the point where I like love running, where like I actually miss it when I don't go out. Before it was just like, I have to do this because I'm running this marathon. And I'm very competitive, especially with myself. So I was like, I need to do my best at the marathon. So I need to go out and run because it's part of the training plan. And if I don't run, I'm not going to do well. So, but it wasn't like a love for me. Right. I feel like it's taken me a full year and like through a marathon to kind of miss running the way I hear other people talk about running. Like before, it was just like, I'd never experienced a runner's high. I was like, I'm just pushing through because I feel like I have to.
Yeah. It's something on the calendar, have to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. 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 So, it took me a while to get there. But I do feel like I'm there now. But for the first, you know, that first training cycle, it was really just like an obligation.
Yeah.
And then I, got to the actual day of the marathon, which was really, it was really great. Obviously running with the charity, they have a lot of support, and it was really helpful to have all of that. And then, I will say, like, the Chicago Marathon, and it's the only marathon I've ever done, and it's a world major. So it's, you know, a huge one. I think we had almost 50,000 runners in 2023.
Huge. Yeah.
But the spectators were just amazing. Like, that was one of my favorite parts of the race. And we had just moved, to Chicago from the East Coast. So I hadn't seen a lot of the city yet. So it was a great way to see the city. And it was just such a great kind of like introduction to the city, because it's just amazing. Like all of the people who are out there cheering, people who don't even know people who are running, and they're just like, want to be out there and giving support, handing out tissues and handing out snacks. So that was really incredible. But I definitely went out the gate way too fast.
As we all do. I feel like that's a common experience. Yeah.
And I had no idea, because I felt great. I had no idea I was doing it until my Apple Watch beeped and was like, you just ran your fastest time ever in the 5K. And I was like, that is terrible. Why did I do that? So then I was like trying to slow down a little bit. But it was just hard, because I'd never worked on pacing. And I think that's one thing I missed out, like not being in a group setting, is I never worked on pacing at all. I'd never thought about it. So running through all the neighborhoods, it's really, really wonderful. I felt amazing until about mile 10. And then that's when that knee pain that I had been dealing with kind of consistently throughout my training cycle really hit me again. And I was starting to feel like maybe I wasn't going to be able to finish it. Like every step hurt. I was having trouble running. And I was like, even if I can finish it, I'm going to get caught in the sweep and I'm not going to be able to do it fast enough.
Right. Right.
And it was actually, I can't believe this actually happened, but as I'm having this like panic attack in the middle of the race, one of my friends texted me. She had done marathons in the past. She knew I was running the marathon today. And she reached out. She had no idea what was going on, but she was like, it doesn't matter if you run, walk, crawl across the finish line. You are already doing something so incredible. Just stick with it. Just keep moving. Just keep going. You can do it. And she has no idea
that gave me chills. Like the timing
exactly.
is crazy.
It was exactly the thing I needed to hear at that moment.
Yeah.
And that just kept me going. I was like, okay, I'm just going to keep like, I'll try to do a little bit of a jog. I did, you know, going through Charity Row, or when I would see people I knew, I would try to like do a little bit of the jog, race photographers trying to, you know, look better than I was feeling.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of walking those last 16 miles. And just because I was like, if I push it too hard, then I'm going to be too injured to even continue doing this, or sure, I'm not going to be able to finish. So it was a very, very long slog. And I was still definitely up in my head about the time I was finishing in. Because as I had gone through training, I was like, okay, I just want to, you know, finish in less than 6 hours. Mm-hmm. Or I just don't want to be the last person on the team to come back. Or I don't want to be the last person to finish. And I was just stressing out about that. But I did have a lot of support. I had people coming, you know, texting, being like, oh, we're tracking you. Like, I see you're so far. Like, good luck. And I had a couple of my coworkers come out and cheer for me at, like, I think it was mile 17 or something. So it was when it was getting more difficult. And sure, even because I was definitely taking a long time, it was incredible how many spectators were still out there, still cheering people on, still keeping the energy going. The aid stations were starting to close because, like, one of the only things was getting me through was just, like, biofreeze all over my knee.
Right, yeah.
And they were starting to run out. So I'm just, like, scraping stuff off the tables to try and put it on my knee. But I kept going and eventually got across the finish line. Because I was like, I've talked so much about this marathon. I've put so much into it. I can't not finish. So I just didn't stop. I was like, you stop, it's over. It's all over. So I just kept going. Finally crossed. Took me almost 7 hours. But
it's a long time to be on your feet too. That's what they don't talk about with, like,
yes,
something happening during the race or having to walk a lot or an injury, is you're still going to finish it. Like you said, I feel like once you're a certain distance in, you're like, there's no way I'm going to crawl through this finish line if I need to.
Exactly.
But it's a long time to be on your feet, for sure.
Yeah. It's such a long time. And I just broke down crying as soon as I crossed the finish line, because I really couldn't believe it. I was like, there's no way I did this. But it was really great. I was so happy I had done it. Was definitely in pain for a long time afterwards, but it was really worth it. My husband had been, volunteering with the charity that day. So I saw him at the finish line, which was really great. Everybody was so excited. They all made little signs for me. So it was a really incredible day despite the pain. And but I was just really excited to have gotten through it. And it was just, it was just an incredible experience. And I didn't actually mention this before, but it was probably a week or so before the marathon. I was kind of feeling like, what am I going to do after this is done? Like, what am I going to spend all my time on? So I actually signed up to run the 2024 Chicago Marathon before I had even run the 2023.
That's awesome.
And I was joking with people after. I was like, it's just a good thing I signed up before, because I'm not sure I would have signed up again. Like, especially in those first, like, day or so after the race, I hear of people who sign up right after. But there were so many times walking through it, I was like, I don't think I could ever do this. Like, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. I don't think I could do this again, but I'd already recommitted. So I will be running 2024 in Chicago, but I feel like I learned a ton of lessons from the first marathon. And it has just been really helpful to get more involved in the community, to get to know more people, especially on social media, that are more runners like me. So it just feels more relatable and more like people, you know, I can learn what is a tempo run. I had no idea what a tempo run was. I can learn what intervals are. I can learn about heart rate training or pacing. I've invested a little bit more in my running tech. So I feel like, you know, I ran the Shamrock Shuffle in Chicago. Is kind of like the kickoff to outdoor running season here. And it's a really popular race. I had a more like GPS watch for that race instead of my Apple Watch. And I was able to see, like, as I was going out, I was like, oh, I'm going out way too fast. I need to cut it back. Yeah. And I could just, like, look and check and, like, adjust my pace that way. And then it was much easier to kind of keep a more consistent pace versus just going on how I was feeling. Because you have no idea how you're going to be feeling, you know, 5 miles down the road.
For sure. Yeah, especially if you start out a little quick, then you're kind of, I guess, improvising at that point. Because it's somewhere where you're not used to training.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm super excited about Chicago again. I'm hoping to do better, but not necessarily having time goals, more just, you know, can I be more consistent with pace? Can I run more of the race versus walking? Can I do it without injuring myself? You know, things like that. So the goals are there, but I'm just, I'm so glad that I did the first one, despite it not going at all like I wanted it to.
Sure.
And it's kind of brought me into this world that is really positive and just really, really wonderful. I think it's just a very wonderful and supportive community.
Yeah, there is a really cool corner of the internet that's very pace inclusive. And I like that you have goals that are not pace pace focused this time around, because I think, I mean, it sounds like it, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like in the beginning you were really hard on yourself about pace, almost to the point where running wasn't fun, where you were just kind of forcing yourself to go out there and do it. But I think the point, I mean, of running, nobody would do it if it wasn't fun, right? Unless, I guess, to get the medal or to complete the race. But it's a longevity thing. So if you put too many boundaries on yourself too early on, especially, you're not going to stick with it for very long.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, it shouldn't be something where you feel... I've seen so many people say, you know, you're a runner no matter what pace you're running, and you don't have to put these artificial, you know, benchmarks that you have to reach to be a runner or to be part of it. And I just, it's just very, it's great to me that I have found that, because I spent so long thinking running anything over a 10-minute mile was not even worth it. Like, you don't deserve to belong, like, you don't deserve to be on that marathon course if you can't run faster. And that just is, it was just reinforced to me a lot. And I think it made me get in my head a lot. So when I was going out fast and feeling good, I was like, all the training paid off, I can do this. And it's like, no, you can't. Like, you just have to accept it. And like, it's not that people can't get faster, but it shouldn't necessarily be always the thing that, you know, something that is so up in your head about that you feel like you can't even go to a group run because you that it might help you, but you're afraid to be embarrassed by how fast you can run.
Yeah. And that's something I just interviewed Mackenzie Rink, the Realistic Runner, who I know, you know, last weekend, I guess. And she talks a lot about that. That's her brand, I guess you could say, is making sure that all paces are included, run groups or run clubs are inclusive and all of that. But I do think it is discouraging to, or I guess just nerve wracking to join a run club when you're a newer runner, because you're not sure what to expect. I was the same way. I don't think I still to this day haven't joined a run group. I think I have a little bit more confidence now to join one, but in the beginning, hell no. I was like, I'm not going to be back of the pack. I don't know how fast they are. I don't know these people. It's super intimidating and super nerve wracking in the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So where in your marathon training, even if it was post-marathon training, now training for your second marathon, where do you feel like that started to shift for you, where you started to focus a little bit less on pace and started to focus more on just completing the thing?
I would say out loud, it started probably a month or two out from my first marathon. So I was saying to people, oh, I don't care how fast I finish it, I just want to finish it. Mm-hmm. But in the back of my mind, I still had that. I don't want to be the last runner. I don't want to be the last person. I don't want to be. And it's not like a pace specific thing, but it was still very much my success in the marathon was based on how fast I finished it.
Right.
Like not, I wasn't going in thinking I was going to run, you know, a sub three marathon or even a sub four marathon, but it was still very much tied to like how fast I could finish it. It wasn't about finishing it anymore. And I think understanding more how to pace, how to think about your pace, and I think it was hard for me, because I always see this thing where everybody says easy runs should feel easy. Mm-hmm. No run in my life has ever felt easy to me.
Right.
It's just not, because I'm not a natural runner. I'm not a natural athlete. I never played sports. Like, but running, it just never feels easy. So people say easy runs should feel easy, and I'm like, I don't know how to make that feel easy to me. So it's been more about not listening to kind of those, the one size fits all. Like, it's not a one size fits right. all. Running is not a one. It feels like it should be because you just go out the door and you start running and you should be able to do these things and you get these results, but it's just not that yeah. way. And I think it took me a while to figure that out and realize that it's more just being consistent and not being so focused on it. And I actually found that my pace was starting to get better the more I wasn't thinking about it, the more mm-hmm. I wasn't obsessing about it and looking yeah. at my watch and wondering like what it was. And I you know, I'll come home from a run and be like, oh, I just did my fastest mile I've ever done. Yeah. And I didn't feel like I was dying and I didn't feel so much pressure. And I think so much about running that I didn't really understand is mental. And if you get up in your head, it's maybe going to affect your performance or how much you want to do it. If you're stressed, if you feel bad about yourself every time you go out for a run because you're mad about how slow you are, then you're not going to want to go out and run at all. And then yeah. your training's not going to be where it needs to be to run the race. So it's so much about just like getting past the mental things that I think I know for me, that was what happened in the early part of my running. It was just, this is what's a good pace. This is what's a good, you know, schedule. And you just have to figure out what works best for you and your natural ability, your body, all of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And to your point, with all of the, you know, the community, the running community that we have online, it's really, really important, I think, especially for newer runners, but it's also a bit hard to sort through. Somebody that's saying your easy run should feel easy are probably people who have been running for multiple years and already have a good baseline of what an easy run feels like for them. You know what I mean? So our easy run for them could be completely different. And I've said this before, but I'm a firm believer that the first 6 to 8 months that you're running are not going to feel good. Anything after like your 6 month point or your 8 month, maybe not that strict, but somewhere in that journey, it does start to feel a little bit better. But at first, hell no, it does not feel good. You have to kind of build a base for yourself.
Yeah. And that's great to hear, because I had never heard that. I was hearing that once you get to 4 miles, you'll feel a runner's high. And I was like, I'm not feeling that. So like, what am I doing wrong? Like, yeah. I don't feel good. I've been doing this. I've been running. I don't feel good. I don't like it. I don't want to go out there and do it. And I just didn't. I was like, what is wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? But hearing someone like you say, like, 6 to 8 months, you're not going to like it, is like, that makes sense. I feel yeah. like that's probably more of what most people experience. And people probably just get discouraged when, you know, they are told other things, or they see all these people who just love every second of running online and they're not feeling that way. And they're just wondering, they're questioning whether or not they should even be doing it.
Yeah. I think it's important too to just understand your why. Like for you, you had already had a marathon on the calendar, and that's what pushed you through the whole training block in the first place. And what got you eventually to fall in love with running. So you had something to push you through all of the parts that don't feel so great and aren't the most glamorous to run through. But having something that you're shooting for, that's your why. That's why you're running, to push you through that point, I think is really important.
Yeah, I think so too, for sure.
Cool. So through training and through the marathon itself, what do you feel like kept you pushing through the whole thing? I know you mentioned a couple of things, like you had your charity that you were working with, so you had a good community behind you, but what was really driving you to finish this whole thing out?
Well, it's related to the charity, because, you know, you're obviously, you care about the cause you're running for. Mm-hmm. I think there's also, because you're fundraising, you're talking about it a lot. You're talking about that you're running a marathon a lot. So at the end of the day, there was that part of me on the course, on the marathon course, where I was like, if I don't finish, this is going to be so embarrassing. Because all of, you know, it's not like, you know, I have a ton of social media people who were seeing it, but, you know, there's a few hundred people who knew and saw me talking all the time about running a marathon. So it's like, if you don't finish that, that's going to be very humiliating. But not that nobody's going to say anything. Everyone would have been very supportive and everything, but it was still just, you know, I've been that annoying person talking about running, posting about my long runs on Instagram, and I don't want people to then be like, oh, you didn't even finish.
Yeah. Yeah, you're running for something bigger than yourself when you're running with a charity like that, especially for these big major runs or these big major races too. You're like, this is a really big deal. I have to do this for more than just myself.
I know. And it's like people donated money and then, you know, you don't finish and then you feel kind of guilty. I mean, it was definitely, there was a degree of that. But I just think, and part of it is also just me being competitive. And I do think there's a lot of that. I've seen a lot of that in other runners too, not necessarily competitive in a bad way, but just like very, I don't think runners like to fail. And one of the things I like about running is that it's very competitive with yourself. Like you're not competing against other people. You're just like, how can I be better than I was yesterday? How can I do this better than I did it last year? And I like that because I feel like it's, there's a little more control over the competition and it feels a little bit better. But it was definitely just especially because it was so out of left field for me to do it. I didn't want it to be like, well, she probably shouldn't have ever signed up for a marathon anyways, because she was never an athlete. She never ran before. I really didn't want to let myself down. I didn't want to let the community that had supported me through my training down. And I just wanted to show myself I could do it, really. I mean, it was a very internal thing for me.
Yeah. Well, it is all on you at the end of the day. It's like you said, you have the control over the whole thing, but you are also in control of whether or not you succeed or if you fail. So it's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. But I think it's something that's so rewarding if you can prove to yourself that you can do this thing that you didn't think you could do. It's going to pay dividends in the long run. For sure. Mm-hmm. Cool. So you completed your first marathon. You had already signed up for your second marathon. So you were probably already thinking about the second time around. And when is the 2024 Chicago Marathon for people that don't know?
It is on Sunday, October 13th.
October. Okay. So you end of this year. So what has changed for you since your first marathon, now training for your second marathon?
A lot has definitely changed. I took about a month off after the first marathon just because I was in a little bit of rough shape and I was just like, just let it rest. Like you're not actively training right now.
Yeah.
But what I started doing more this time around was really focusing more on consistency than distance, especially before like the major training starts. So now I'm just like, I'm just going to go out and do a mile there and back, and then that's it. And I'll do it, you know, 3 days a week. I'm not worried about pace and I'm not worried about going further, but just doing that. And then maybe a few more miles on the weekends, kind of what I feel like doing. So it's more based on feel versus you have to do this amount of miles. And that'll come in a few months when the training cycle starts. But it's been more of that instead of I feel like I just came out way too hot my first time around. It was too much trying to put it, and it wasn't about consistency. It was all about time and pace. So it wasn't like, I'd say I don't feel well, I'm not going to run today because I'm not going to do well on the run. Whereas now I'm like, I don't feel well, I'm still going to go for a run, see how long I want to run, and then come back. And that's helped tremendously. The other thing is fueling more appropriately. I think especially because I went into the marathon training thinking it was going to be an opportunity to lose weight. I tell people who ask me, I'm like, I think that's like just one of the biggest misconceptions about it, because you have to fuel so much. Yes. And if, you know, it's not a weight loss. It was kind of it was kind of shocking for me. Like that I was like, I'm becoming heavier, and people kept being like, oh no, you must be losing so much weight running the marathon. And I was like, no, like, especially if you're doing it right, like, you are probably not losing weight during marathon training. So I think being more mindful of the fueling, whereas before I would go out for a run without having eaten anything. And then I was like, oh, I wonder why that run felt so bad. It's like, because you're not eating anything. That's why.
Yeah, your body doesn't have anything to burn.
Exactly. So it's being way more mindful of that. I got properly fitted for shoes. I did before the second, or I'm sorry, the first marathon, but mm-hmm. I got properly fitted for shoes. And adding in strength training, 100%. So I found a couple of good accounts on Instagram that have examples of exercises. They're super easy to do. I don't have to belong to a gym to do weightlifting. Mm-hmm. But it's just having like, you know, a kettlebell at home and just building some of that in, especially because I've had so many issues with like my knee and my hips. And it's just things that I think could be better avoided if I'm doing strength training. So adding all of that in, all things I didn't do the first time around.
Yeah, that's great. And you said that you're starting to like running a little bit more. I'm sure some of this is contributing yes. to the whole thing. Yeah, that's great. So when you got new shoes, because I had a similar experience. I ran with kind of whatever I had in the beginning. I didn't really identify as a runner, so I didn't want to invest much money into this. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if I would stick with it. And shoes made a big difference for me. Did you feel like yep. it made a pretty big difference for you too?
1,000%. Yeah, I was running and I did everything wrong. I have a wide toe box. I didn't have wide toe box shoes. I had ordered my regular size for my first pair instead of, you know, usually it's like at least half a size larger for running uh-huh. shoes. And so I was like, when I finally had shoes that were meant for me, I was like, what? This feels so much better.
Yeah, big difference. So shoes made a big difference for me for sure. And then, like you said, nutrition, fuel too. Was that more on the gel side of things or more on the learning how to nutrition your body and learning how to eat before runs or a little bit of both?
A little bit of both. I did do gels in my first marathon. One of the other mistakes I made during the marathon was later in the race, I started to feel like if I put anything else in my body, I was going to be sick. So mm-hmm. I stopped drinking water and I stopped taking gels. And I still had at least 9 miles to go. And yeah. I was like, no, you should not do that. You should keep fueling. You should find something. So I think I might go a little bit beyond gels this training cycle just to see what might work better. It might be a little bit better on my stomach. Mm-hmm. I had trained with them a little bit the first time around because I knew you shouldn't go in putting stuff into your body on a marathon day that you've never had before.
Right.
But I think I might try other things. I don't really love the gels. No one really loves the gels anyways, but.
No, yeah. And a lot of people have been talking to me about more natural options too. For fueling, like dried fruit is one that's come up a couple yeah. of times that people really like. People are eating more whole food. So like granola bars full, you know, whatever you can grab, like a banana on at an aid station or something like that, more whole foods. I know a lot of people are liking that too, if the gels are kind of stomach sensitive.
Yeah, I've heard about the dried fruits and I think I'm going to try that one because that might be a good one. And I think easier than the gels.
Yeah,
for sure.
But it is hard to fuel the last, I would say, for me, it was like the last 10 miles were really hard for me to fuel. But at least once I got past the half marathon point for my marathon, I was, it was really hard to get food down. I had to switch to like an electrolyte drink, couldn't get a single gel down. My stomach was not happy with me. I tried like completely rejecting it. So I know some people will go for like electrolyte drinks and things like that too. But that's cool. So you're learning a lot about nutrition, a lot about fuel. What has changed for you during training in that regard? So like, are you training more with gels, training more with fuels, changing how you're dieting, how you're, you know, fueling ahead of time? What's changed for you?
Fueling ahead of time right now is the biggest thing, just because I haven't started implementing the longer runs yet where I would normally fuel on them. Especially it's starting to get finally warmer here in Chicago, so now I'm like, okay, gotta bring the water bottles again. So that's gonna start coming probably in the next few weeks, but for now it's just been making sure I eat something before I go out and making sure I have, you know, it's usually like bland, like more carb focused. I used to think like it should be protein, and not that it shouldn't be any protein, but more carb focused and just easier yeah. on my stomach versus, and I think especially when I started running, I avoided those because those are traditionally not what you're going to eat for weight loss, right? So
right.
I didn't want to have a Pop-Tart before I went for a run because that wouldn't be good for me. So it's getting right. past that mindset too, where it's like, no, it's more important that you feel your body and you're about to go for a 2-mile run anyways. So like you're yeah. making a healthy choice.
You're going to burn it
it's
out.
Okay. It's okay. Yeah.
And do you feel like that's been a healthy shift for you, like thinking about fuel in that way, instead of thinking about it as something that like you have to be choosy about what you're eating before a run?
Yes, absolutely. For sure. It's I think a lot of women of all ages struggle with their relationship with food. And it's something I've definitely struggled with in the past, and getting past that mindset and realizing how important it is, not just of your marathon training, but just in general. It doesn't need to be, and don't get me wrong, it's not like I have a magical fix and I never struggle with this anymore, but
right.
It's something that it's started to feel a little less like it's something I'm thinking about all the time and something that, you know, needs to be monitored and tracked and all of that. Cause it's just, it's too hard when you're doing activity and it's you need to focus on being healthy for yourself and your activity level and not worrying about, oh, this is traditionally what I've been told is a bad food, so I shouldn't be eating it.
Totally. Yeah, I think it kind of breaks you out of that mindset for sure mm-hmm. over time.
Yeah.
Cool. So group runs, I wanted to get back to that because that was something yeah. that you said was kind of a pain point for you in the beginning of your training. Is that something that you've gotten back to now, or what's your relationship with group runs now?
I have not gotten back to it. I still just have a lot of anxiety around it. There's a few in my area that I've thought about joining, but I have not yet gotten the courage to go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and you know, and you said the same thing that you haven't really made the jump to group runs. It's hard. Like it's just hard, and I don't know that it's the best way for me to train. It would be more community building, I think, at this point, or just learning from people who may have been doing this longer. But I actually don't mind the long runs alone. I know a lot of people will go crazy doing it, but I'm going to be alone on race day too, because I'm not running the marathon with anyone. So
yeah,
it's good practice, I guess. And I don't really mind it. It's a good, you know, go out and clear your head and all of that. And then just focusing, I think I'm just too wrapped up in comparing myself to other people, and that's okay. And I just know that going by myself is probably going to be the better thing for me mentally and, you know, training wise.
Yeah, I relate to a lot in that way. I also, like, my long runs are my me time, I feel like. It's where I can process a lot of stuff from the week. I can listen to the audiobooks and the podcasts and the music that I've been saving. It's a lot of time to think. And I also felt like, whether it was comfortable or not comfortable, training for my first marathon, some of those long runs is where I made the most progress, not just physically, mentally too, getting over some hurdle, like you were talking about pace a lot, letting go of the pace thing, feeling comfortable, moving a little bit slower, or being okay walking. When you're running with a group, it doesn't always feel like you have permission to do those things. So
yeah,
I think that's good, good processing time. So I relate to you a lot there. Just out of curiosity, if you were to join a group run one day, what would be kind of the ideal situation for you to be in?
I think, that's a tough one. It's hard because I know in my heart that I'm a slower runner, but it would be one that didn't make me feel like that. It would have to be one that didn't. And I think, Mackenzie's posted about, like, at her group runs, she's always the one in the back. And I think that model's really great, because then the person who's leading it, who you think would normally be at the front, is in the back of the pack. They're making sure that everybody is doing okay. And if they have to stop and walk, it's not going to be the end of the world. You're not going to lose the group. It's just, I think it's something more like that, where the focus isn't on pace. or pace groups. Because it feels like once you start sorting people into pace groups, and especially if you're in the smallest one and you're at the back, it just feels to me, it just, that just really, I was so up in my head already before I'd even started that 6 mile run that day, because I just felt, I was embarrassed. And no one should be embarrassed about that.
Not at all.
It's just hard. Yeah. And I think a lot of running groups, unfortunately, that is how it feels. And I understand there might be limits in finding pacers for all these different group runs, but just to like group everybody at a certain pace or below, or I know like the party pace thing has come up on a couple of podcasts that I've listened to. And it's like my normal pace is probably someone else's party pace, and it doesn't feel like a party to me.
Right.
So it's something that's more, I think, understanding of the fact that all paces are runners and all paces are meant to be there and should have a place in the running community, I think is something that would be helpful in getting me to go back.
Totally. Yeah, there needs to be more of those for sure. We need a realistic run club in every state, it sounds like. But
yes.
Yeah, I would agree. I would thrive in that environment too. Just having somebody, or not even having groups or getting rid of pace groups necessarily. I'm okay with having pace groups, but not making it feel like the people in the back are an afterthought or an inconvenience. Yeah. I think that would be huge in getting more people to get out and get into a group run. But the good news is we have this Instagram community too, where people are accepting, we can post about our runs, people can comment, and that, I, for me at least, it makes me feel like I've got a sense of community there, even if I don't have them in person too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So some looking back on the whole experience, what are some things that you would recommend to somebody who's maybe starting their first marathon journey now?
Yes. I would recommend getting the right shoes. That's your first step.
Early on too, I would say.
Yes. Yes. If you're running a marathon, it doesn't matter if you're not a runner, like not a quote unquote runner, you're running a marathon, you need good shoes.
Yeah.
You're running any race, you need good shoes. Like, start running in them now. It'll make a difference and it'll help make it more comfortable, so you want to be more consistent for sure. That would be a big one. I would also say, don't get cut off in your pace. Don't worry about it. It's not the end of the world if you can't run as fast as everyone you see on Instagram. It's okay, and you are still valid, and you should still be running the marathon. You should still be on that course. And then I would also probably say, do your homework. I did not do a lot of research about running. I didn't really do much research on the different types of workouts that are available in a marathon plan. I didn't do any research on strength training. There are resources out there, free resources out there. And I think having an understanding of all the different components of marathon training, it's not just about going out the door and running. But I think understanding all of those different components is something that if I had taken more time to learn at the beginning, I would have probably had an easier training cycle for sure.
Sure. Yeah, totally agree with that. For shoes, I know everybody is, you should definitely go get fitted for shoes. I've said it, I think, on every episode now. You should definitely go get fitted for your own shoes. But what shoes are your favorite? Maybe for training and for race day, if they're different.
So I did my first training cycle after I got fitted basically exclusively in the Hoka Clifton 9s, okay, which I really like. I recently started using the Hoka Mach 6, which I actually really like, a little bit more than the Cliftons, actually. So I've been switching between the two right now for training, but I'm a big Hoka girl. I think the wide toe box works really well for me, and they've worked out really well for my training. So right now I'm just between the Mach 6 and the Clifton 9s.
Cool. Yeah, Hoka is one of those brands that I feel like you either really love it or you really don't. But if the people that really, really love it, they're like the perfect shoes for them.
Yes. Die hard Hoka fan.
That's cool. And then what fuel/gels? I know you said you're kind of playing around with things right now, but what is your go-to right now?
So right now, I do chocolate milk after my runs.
Yeah. Great source of protein.
And it's a great excuse to drink chocolate milk.
Yeah, totally. When else do you have the excuse?
Exactly. Especially, you know, in your 30s, you feel little weird. But after a run, it's fine.
Yeah.
I did goo gels during my first marathon. I think the raspberry lemonade flavor was the best one for me. And I will probably still use them this time around, just for ease and convenience. Also playing around with gummies, like actually like gummy bears or like Swedish fish or something like that, to see how that goes. And then I do noon in my water, because that is one of the only electrolyte powders that doesn't upset my stomach. So
yeah, it's a great one too. I like that one a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So last couple questions for you. When I'm assuming you said that you're going to start your full marathon training for this next one in around June, right? Mm-hmm. So when that point comes, what are you planning on following a specific training plan? Are you planning on running with your charity group again? What's going to be the strategy come June?
So I am running with the charity again. They don't do, because they have runners all over the country, so there's no group run component of it. They do like virtual challenges and stuff like that, which are always fun and helpful. But I will probably just take, you know, the written training plan from last year, and I'll probably just do that again. Like, strength training was technically on that calendar as an option, and I was just like, I don't have time for that. I have to focus on running.
Yeah.
So I think maybe following the non-mileage portions of a training plan again would be something that I'm going to look at. I might try to incorporate more speed workouts this time around. We'll see how it goes. Again, not necessarily worried about pace, but I am competitive with myself, as I said, so I want to do better than last time. So it will be, and also just something fun and something new to try, something to keep it a little more interesting. And just always, I think it's nice that there's just all these ways out there to try and, you know, go out and do better, whatever that means to you you did the day before. So I'll probably try to incorporate a little more different components in the training plan. But I'm not envisioning going to a group run for this training cycle.
Yeah, that sounds like it's going to be a better move for you anyways. But
yeah,
I think you'll like some of the speed work. I agree. It breaks up the training a little bit more. It makes it a little bit less like you're just getting up, getting out of your house and like dragging yourself outside to run, and more like, okay, I have to plan. I'm going to do my intervals on this day. This is how I'm going to do it. This is the pace I'm shooting for. It's a little bit more thought, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
So I think you'll like breaking it up a little bit that way. Fartleks are my favorite because you get to just kind of pick based on the route that you're on, what you want to focus on for the day. So those are definitely beneficial for sure.
Okay, cool. I need to read more about them, and then I will do, because I have like a basic understanding, but again, it's just like, I never took the time to like really learn all of, I think, the more technical aspects of running and marathon training.
And there's so much you could learn for 10 years. I just talked to somebody last week that had been running for 12 years. And even there was some terms that he was bringing up that, I mean, I for sure didn't know, but he was like, oh yeah, let me think about this for a second. It's been a while. So it seems like you continue to learn as long as you're a runner, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. I like that part of it for sure.
Cool. Last question is just, what's next for you? I know you've got the Chicago Marathon coming up, but is there anything you're doing in between that's good, like in terms of races or anything you're shooting for right now?
Yeah, so I'm starting the more, I guess, focused based training next week. So that's gonna start kicking more into high gear. I have it's a 5K plus 10K race. I think it's the Under Armour Women's Race is what it's called in June in Chicago that I'm doing. Because last time I did not do any race other than the Shamrock Shuffle, like at the beginning of the season. I didn't do any races in between that and the marathon. And I think that might have also helped me a little bit just get more familiar with, again, with the pacing, with how to control your pace going out, like all of those things that just preparing for the race course that I never really even thought about doing. So I do have that one on the calendar right now. I may add other shorter ones. We'll see what I'm feeling. And then the marathon in October.
Sweet. Lots coming up. That's great. The last question is, where can we find you?
So you can find me at a what's going to be a very new Instagram page, just to kind of share my my experiences with running as a new runner, as someone who is not in the weeds on it yet, but is hoping to get more in there, at erin.runs.a.marathon on Instagram.
And I'll link it in the show notes too, so everybody can find you. But I really appreciate you coming on. It was awesome to hear your story. I'm excited to follow along for your second marathon, see what's changed, see what's working for you, what's not working for you. But yeah, just really appreciate you coming on today and sharing your story with everyone.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Taylor. I love the podcast. I'm so excited I found you through Mackenzie's page. And yeah. I think this is such a fun and great experience. And I'm so glad you reached out to me. So thank you.
I really appreciate it. Yeah, thank you so much.